Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We will get into some need-to-know news. And as a matter of fact, if you haven't done so, you need to go sign up at G. Edward Griffin's need-to-know news website. You can get these emails and you can kind of peruse through the headlines. The nice thing about what G. Edward Griffin is doing is he's actually trying to give you the news that you're not getting from the mainstream media. And so we've got a backlog of some of his information, so we'll try to get into that, but we still haven't finished on the good old Convention of States. And as a matter of fact, I got a call last night, and the committee chair for Republic Review spoke to me and said, did you know that David Barton is supporting the Constitution, or I should say, the Convention of States and the Constitutional Convention? And I said, well, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, him and Glenn Beck have been kind of tied, maybe not at the hip, but I mean, they've been tied ideologically for quite a while. And Glenn Beck has been out supporting the Convention of States. And so he, you know, wanted to know, what can we do? And I go, you know, Barton is a micro historian. He drills into details, and when he gets into the nuts and bolts and down into the weeds, when you start looking at Lincoln or you look at these facts and little things on history, he loses sight of the macro. And I've told him I'm not surprised that he supported the Convention of States. And this is kind of what I've been drawing to. And so we'll be getting into that. But bottom line, I explained to him that the reason why I'm railing about the strategy against the Convention of States is I believe it's all wrong. Of course, that's because I understand and accept and am promoting and authored, I guess, if you want to look at it that way, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison were probably the original authors, but we support Republic Review. And so in contrast to what we're doing and what they're doing, they're actually looking to go do nothing. In other words, they want to take action, but their action will lead to nothing. Because, as I said, there is no amendment. Not even a pretty please comply to the Constitution amendment will get federal government to comply. It'll have to be done by political force. And so if you don't understand how that political force can play out, go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And right there on the home page, you can read the process, you can read the argument, you can look at the model. But I would recommend you go to our constitutional articles page. And in so doing, you can actually read both the three top documents and other things to kind of help explain what we need to do, why we need to do it, what the heck's been going on, like the concept of standing armies and so forth. What I believe are really critical pieces of information to understand about the Constitution. And so when we look at some of these people that are promoting the Convention of States, we can clearly see that they don't understand that there is no amendment that can actually fix the problem. It just won't do it. It'll just be another amendment to be ignored. And as a matter of fact, there is really no need for an amendment, because if the federal government is pulled into compliance with the Constitution, we don't need term limits. We don't, I mean, you know, if you want to, these people can't bring home any money to you. And so will that be the demise of politicians in Washington, D.C.? You send them to D.C. and you expect them to send home money or pork barrel projects, and then all of a sudden they don't get any for you. So you fire them and you vote them out, because it's all about what they give you. It's all about because those are violations of the Constitution. So it's all about whether they're willing to violate. And anyway, so we'll get into that. More importantly, I'm not sure if anybody watched CPAC, but it's, you know, it's the same old thing. Everywhere I look in the conservative corners where there is energy and people, I get the fact that CPAC awards conservatives and that's how they get people out there. I mean, if you look at the speakers, it was pretty much politicians. I mean, politicians and those who were in, I would just say, the positive light on the conservative venues in entertainment. And I'm going, CPAC doesn't even care. And the way you can tell if an organization really cares is if they're really identifying what the real problem is. Because it doesn't take a genius. It does not take a genius to understand that what we are seeing is violations to the Constitution. I mean, do you really believe the federal government has the ability to pay for or even do vaccinations? Where is that? Where is that in the Constitution? Not too many people, you know, rallied, or I should say railed against Trump. Where are the, where's the railing regarding housing and or agriculture and or energy? Almost everything they're doing and everything that they're spending their money on is unconstitutional. Well, except for the war stuff. And, of course, as you know, Biden is going to be a war hawk. He claims not to be, but we've got some need-to-know news that will be coming up on that. So anyway, I look at CPAC and I find void. I find nothing that provides me any real solace, any real confirmation that these people know what the heck is wrong and what we need to do about it. I'm serious. You look at the conservative entertainers that were there, you look at all the politicians, and even though Trump spoke, it was all about him being in power and or what he believed we needed to do, and none of it had anything to do with forcing the federal government into compliance with the Constitution. I'm going to tell you, Trump, we don't need Trump. What we need is a president that is going to go state to state and go into each state house and, you know, pull in all the legislators, lock the doors, and start knocking heads together saying, you stupid idiots, maybe not use those words, but knock their heads together and basically say, you have the authority and power to get rid of all of this unconstitutional government. As president, I will make sure we do not come after you. We won't use the deep state. We will help you dismantle the deep state and all the bureaucracies that have zero constitutionality. Anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence of what we need to do and the academic evidence-based solutions. So this is why we ask that you continue. As a matter of fact, our numbers are looking good. We want to get, why is it that when this show airs, these conservative entertainers are still, okay, I get it. I don't even have to ask the question. I do know that people just love the way some of these conservative entertainers articulate and speak out against the problems. But they're not really speaking out against the problems. You have to understand what they're speaking out against are the symptoms. When they start talking about government doing this, and you know, some of these entertainers who've maybe written books about amendments and so forth, they're out there telling you, well, we need to do this, and this is an amendment that will solve this. But no, it doesn't solve the problem. How does it stop the federal government from meddling with energy or education or even health care or even welfare? None of these things does the federal government have the formal delegated power from the states to exercise. So, I want to remind you that the Red Pill Expo is going to be held in Rapid City, South Dakota, June 4th, 5th, and 6th. Are you planning on getting there? You should. I'm hoping to be there. And as we get closer to that, so I can look at my schedule, my only problem will be whether I will be healed enough to travel, because I will be having surgery. And so I have no idea, because here's a funny little story. I'm supposed to go see a surgeon. Actually, I was going to have surgery at the end of this month or early April. And my surgeon actually injured himself, and now he needs to have surgery of the same type of stuff that he does. Because anyway, I basically told the scheduler, she says, it doesn't look like it's going to happen until midsummer. And I go, well, I'm going to go somewhere else. And I'd recommend that the good doctor doesn't operate on himself, that he may want to, you know, look for a good surgeon. And, oh, by the way, who would he have operate on him? And I'm pretty sure I know who, but anyway, it is what it is. What we want to do is we want to thank you for tuning in. We can't be here without you, and we are in the real throes. And I've said this for a long time, and this statement about fighting evil has truly come to fruition, because when we see the Biden administration, we will be overwhelmed with all of the unconstitutional government tyranny that's going to come from this administration. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so, I had a real hard time sleeping last night, so if I don't seem as coherent today, it's because I'm operating on probably 2, maybe 3 hours of sleep. It's really bothered me. As a matter of fact, I'll just say an advocate, what I would think would be an advocate for Republic Review and an advocate for the Constitution, lawmaker in Montana, has publicly asked for a public debate between the anti-convention of states leader of the debate and the convention of states, Mark Meckler. And I'm going, you know, why is it that this lawmaker is looking to create Circus Maximus? This is the distraction. And as you understand Republic Review. As you look at Republic Review, you can see that its focus is compliance to the Constitution. This is why I've basically been, I've been asserting for a long, long time that I look at people on both sides of this aisle that are caught, and instead of really calling it Circus Maximus, maybe we should call it pig wrestling. Maybe, and we I look at the leadership of the convention states as the pig. And I look at those people that are fighting the convention states as getting in there and getting dirty and wrestling the pig. And at the end of the day, the pig's happy, and the pig slowly is going to gain ground. That's just because the convention states is an action. And what I mean by that is that they're standing for taking action. In other words, everybody understands the federal government is overreaching and going well beyond the constitutional boundaries, well beyond it. The evidence is overwhelming. And this is why many patriots are just overwhelmed with this concept of doing nothing is unacceptable. And so how can you stand? How can you literally have any moral high ground when you say, well, we're going to do nothing. We don't want to do anything against this, but we will recommend that you take nullification measures. Nullification does not do anything. It doesn't even end the printing of money for paying for the unconstitutional programs. And over time, your state will be overran with, you know, the federal bureaucracies that you're trying to nullify. The only types of nullification that is going to work, and actually it's really not going to work, it'll work against you, are things like legalizing marijuana. Because there's money involved in that. And you're going to find that marijuana is going to be legalized across the United States. But here's the funny thing. There, because can you go to Walmart to buy booze? Yes, you can. Will they allow marijuana to be packaged like cigarettes and be sold at Walmart? If everybody understands the direction of marijuana, what they want to do, because they're making bank, and I'm telling you, normal, and there were actually, I think it was Reynolds, or what's the initials? There's some initials with R.J. Reynolds, and the other tobacco companies want to own and control marijuana, and what they want to do is they want to make sure it doesn't become that readily available, at least not as fast, because what they want to do is they want to make a lot of money, because that's what it's all about. And that's one of the reasons why the federal government is taking more of a hands-off position. But the fact of the matter is, when you're looking at nullification against Common Core, I mean, good luck, because even though you say we're not going to teach Common Core, the curriculum materials that the state is going to buy, because there's only one source for this, you're going to get the crap anyway. And so nullification cannot dismantle unconstitutional government. This is why Jefferson and Madison did not call for the states to nullify. That was a perfunctory process that is, once you realize that these things are unconstitutional, you call them null and void. And you work with the other states to get the federal government, to force the federal government, let's be clear, to force the federal government into compliance. So anyway, when we look at this whole concept of these two sides fighting, well, the convention of states is going to win, especially under the Biden administration. And I can't understand why the John Birch Society and those who are leading, even the Eagle Forum, I can't understand why they believe they're in a good position. I was actually told, hey, we're winning the battle. I am here to tell you, with the next 4 years of the Biden administration, I don't think so. I honestly see more states. Now, will the convention states get the required requisite 34 states? They only got 15 now. They got more than halfway to go. they are only focused on five states this year. Wyoming and Montana are two of them. I forget what the other three are. But bottom line, if you are at least telling patriots, hey, we've got an opportunity here, then we can actually take action and we can start doing things with these amendments. And people are being bamboozled into thinking that the Convention of States is actually going to work as a process of dealing with federal government overreach. Anyway, one of the things that we actually need to do, and so we need your help. We need your help, and as a matter of fact, I got great help down in Arizona. I got a little news that they were able to, you know, in talking to a Convention of States person, they showed them the highlighted text that we have right there on Reclaiming the Republic's homepage regarding, regarding the Convention of States. And so get people to start reading the process for Republic review. It's the second textual document there, or the second document on the Constitutional Articles page. Get them to read that. Tell them and point to them the text that is highlighted in red and or green, and get them to go, wow. Get them to read that to understand that this is the process of dealing with overreach. As you read that, how can you even deny the concept that Republic review isn't the only process to do, or the only process to execute? Tell you I'm tired, right? Anyway, so I'll probably struggle with some of my words today. But anyway, we don't have to justify an amendment. We don't have to justify in front of the states. What we have to do is we have to get the states to act and use the authority they already have. This is the one thing that I think really gets those people involved in down in the trenches with the Convention of States, is the fact that we actually don't need to petition the federal government. We have the inherent power necessary to move forward. Having converted state leaders and those in the trenches for the Convention of States, I see these folks, and I've told you this, I see them as patriots who know we must act, not just sit on our hands and believe in the John Birch Society that's going to teach us out of this. There's no way they are going to win with their strategy. This is why I look at it and I'm going, why is it that good conservative lawmakers are continuing to go down this path? They need to shut down those people, those few shills that are already in the state government to say, well, we need to support this Mark Meckler Convention of States plan. Why? Shut them down and say there is no reason for an amendment. This is why I've looked and we've talked about the Articles of Confederation. There was an inherent need and actually an inalienable right and responsibility for Madison and the convention in the Convention of 1787 to rewrite our government, because it was a failed government. And we have a right to actually get rid of government that fails. Now, when we look at the two parts of government, the Constitution, and we look at the Convention of States, and what is the real problem? Actually, I'm going down the wrong path. When we look at the real problem today, is government the problem or is the Constitution the problem? If the Constitution is the problem, then the Convention is the path to move forward. But it is proven that the Constitution is not the problem. And so, folks, I hope I'm not dragging this into the dirt, but I want you to understand that we must stand on compliance. And those who are actually standing against doing anything and going to tell you that they're going to educate you, when the argument in the state houses is done, how much more educated have you become? This has been a small little war or pig wrestling for a few decades now. Few, because this goes back to the 90s. It actually started in the 80s. The concept of using an Article 5 convention was, you know, thrown out there, but there was not really a big movement. That's when the movement really started beginning, but all of a sudden, Reagan came in. And so that argument, because of the Reagan effect, lost its steam. I hope you understand that doing the status quo, or basically literally doing nothing, or just using nullification, is not going to work. So anyway, what we need to do, and we need to actually move forward in doing this, is we need to kill the goose that lays their golden eggs. So when we come back, we'll just kind of wrap up, because we're going to head right into some G. Everett Griffin need-to-know news. So please stay tuned, and actually we're going to call out both sides of who they're serving. But we'll be right back after this.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so when you look at both sides, and I've said this before regarding the convention states and regarding those who fight the convention states, when you look at both sides, this motivation that drives both sides is money. They're both serving mammon. It doesn't matter that there are people, because, be honest with you, both sides look at me as the enemy. Because the convention of states is losing their followers, and the anti-convention of states people are looking at me and saying, hey, you know, you're actually supporting action when we make money. And we have an advantage when we do nothing, because we can start teaching people. And one of the things we want to teach people is taking action with the convention of states is evil. That any action is evil. Ah, now you start getting it. Because when you do nothing, then, oh, well, no, don't do nothing. Buy our curriculum. Buy our material. There is blood on the hands of many people that are leading these charges, not the people in the trenches. You people that are not up at the top leadership, which I don't believe I have anybody. I believe we have minions that listen to this show. There's no doubt in my mind there are John Birchers that listen to this show. And many of them are good patriots that support Republic Review. But there are those who are reporting back and saying, well, the GR is really railing on us this week. You know, we've got to ramp up our rhetoric against him. And this is when I find out that people in some of these dark red states like Idaho oh, well, we just had this presentation all about Republic Review. What's really funny is in one of those presentations, this person actually did the due diligence, looked at Republic Review, contacted me and said, hey, you know, they're saying some pretty bad things about you, but everything I've read in the process, it's not true. They're just attacking you. And that is what I've been telling you. So what we have to do, and I said this on Monday, is we have to create a purified paradigm. And I truly believe that when you look at the Constitution Party, you know, you may look at politics as money-driven and serving themselves, but look at how the Constitution Party wants to fund itself. It wants to be void of corporate, let's just say, influence when they come in and become a primary contributor. One of the reasons why the Constitution Party is being downplayed by many people is because you can't buy them. But what I want you to understand is the Constitution Party, as a non-paid interest and as an organization that I believe has the moral high ground, I believe they're in the right position to start actually creating a canonized, or I would just say, the paradigm of what is constitutional, what isn't constitutional. Almost all of them support Republic Review, except for some of them that might be working with the John Birch Society and fighting the Convention of States. This is really what it boils down to. And this is why I look at this little sideshow as a huge problem. We have done most of the work. As a matter of fact, when I say we have done, you know, those who have been working with me and have come to the realization that our ratification debates are truly the nation's greatest treasure, because it actually puts all of these different paradigms and arguments aside. And we actually hear from the framers' mouth, not mine, but from the framers' mouth, and what is constitutional, what isn't constitutional. We now just need to lay this truth out from what they have said. This is why when I write my, and I apologize if my articles are a little long. I know you want a two-paragraph, you know, maybe a one-page type of article. But if I can't insert and put context to what the framers said in the ratification debates, then you're just taking my word for it and paraphrasing and just telling you what I believe they were telling you is inadequate. I believe that if you're going to stand up, and I'm going to ask you to stand in harm's way. When I say harm's way, getting into the battle of the concept of what is constitutional amongst these little pig fights and amongst these little scurries between conservatives. You got to understand, we're the ones that are being divided. And both of these organizations are working to divide us. You got to take our side. I was literally told that if I don't come across their bridge and think the way they do, I'm burning the bridge. Are you serious? Well, we'll find that he who has basically made that claim is probably holding the match and will probably recognize that the burned bridge from their side, not mine. What I am asserting can be proven, and those who make false accusations like the Constitutional Convention was a runaway convention has no evidence, and they can't prove this. This is why I have told you that when we talk about exceeding the commission from the states, we have to understand that back during the Articles of Confederation Day, the states themselves were the problem. And looking at today and the problem we're facing, it is not analogous. And so, bottom line, we don't need a convention. We need compliance. And we don't need people sullying the Constitution. We need people standing up on it and pointing just how right the Constitution was. And what those men did in standing up and rewriting the Constitution to solve the problem, to save the Republic, I think when you read the first call for Thanksgiving, the proclamation by George Washington, you realize the true sentiments of this nation, that they recognize that this Constitution was from the divine hand of providence. End of story, period. And there's nobody that can shine negative light on this that, as far as I can say, can weather the truth or the storm of truth. Anyway, now let me get into some G. Everett Griffin need to know news. Now, the Domestic Terrorism Act, or the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act of 2021, see, I told you I'm tired, was introduced in the House. H.R. 350 authorizes dedicated domestic terrorism offices within the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, and the FBI to, quote, analyze and monitor domestic terrorist activity and require the federal government to take steps to prevent domestic terrorism. Now, as if you remember Tulsi Gabbard, she's the Democratic nominee, or not the nominee, Democratic candidate that ran for president in this last cycle. Now, I don't know if she's still a Democrat or what, but she's come forward and basically said that as a representative from Hawaii, she voices her concern over the idea that domestic terrorists are religious extremists, racists, bigots, and libertarians. She says this could include Christians, all white people, males, libertarians, people who have an American flag outside their house, or anyone who has ever attended a Trump rally. She said it targets almost half the country. I want you to understand, when I listened to Biden's inauguration, his unconstitutional inauguration, we are in a constitutional crisis because he was never constitutionally selected by the Electoral College because the Electoral College had no constitutional standing. Anyway, when we look at this domestic terrorist bill, yours truly will probably become enemy number one. And I say that not just because, you know, they'll look at me as somebody that is espousing the, because it's not just going to be the progressives that look at people that want to get the federal government into full compliance. There are plenty of conservatives. I mean, we have to get past this paradigm of, you know, following the conservative sound bites and the conservative news cycle and reporting, you know, the bad things that Biden is doing and start focusing on compliance and the solution. So there's no reason why we can't unite. The only reason why is because people that are we see as leaders, there are people within the conservative movement, and literally, like I just pointed out, between the convention of states and between the anti-convention of states, I mean, that is a division right there amongst amongst the conservatives. Do you understand that we actually are looking at, you know, this little civil war of conservatives? This is how we divide ourselves. This is why we need to rail on the Constitution, putting aside our self-interest and our differences. Anyway, as you know, Biden also ordered, this is G. Edward Griffin, Need to Know News. As you know, Biden also ordered the U.S. military troops to go into northeastern Syria. This included 200 troops, 40 trucks, and armored personnel carriers backed by the air and or by helicopters. News reports have come from Israel and Syria, while U.S. media avoids reporting it. Now, you can find this information, and this is kind of common. This has been out there. But if you want to understand why the news media isn't making a big deal of it, and, you know, we heard that there were rockets. I believe that we just heard in the news that rockets were pounding Syria this past couple of days. At least I read about it last night. And so, man, I have to keep up on the news cycle just as we talk about these types of things. But the point is that they're really not focusing on why he's going in there. And we will talk a little bit about why he's going in there as soon as we come back. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic. I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so just so you understand, historically, Joe Biden is anti-Israel. And as a matter of fact, he actually stated, and G. Edward Griffin actually reports this quote, "If there wasn't an Israel, the U.S. would have to invent an Israel to protect our interests in the region." And so, just so you understand that now Biden is in a position, he's either going to have to make himself a hypocrite or he's going to have to look at Israel as the enemy. Now, look at where we are historically and look at what the end times biblically states, how the nations of the world will turn against Israel. Now, we just had a president that supported the movement of our embassy to Tel Aviv, to their capital. And now we have a president that is unconstitutional and is doing everything he can to undo everything that Trump did. Do not be surprised if he shuts down that embassy and abandons it in favor of maintaining maintaining the old embassy in Israel. So, just so you know, we're going to find some hypocrisy, and we can actually predict the agenda for Joe Biden. One of the things that we also know is how he is going down this path of reversing all of Trump's, you know, mandates, executive orders, and I'm not sure how you feel about it, but executive orders are unconstitutional. The origins of executive orders go all the way back to George Washington, but one of the things you've never heard is what an executive order is supposed to do. So when a law gets passed, the president has the responsibility of enforcing that law. And an executive order is an administrative guidance. It's basically just that, administrative guidance in how we are to enforce a very specific law that Congress has passed or a constitutional law that is standing that, let's say, all of a sudden, like immigration becomes a problem. Well, then an executive order would go and say, this is how we're going to support our current laws. It is not to make laws. But everybody's been duped into believing now we have a monarch, or what we believe to be a monarchy position within our government. Come on, folks. Even if a conservative does it, doesn't make it right. And as a matter of fact, I'm hoping we get to a point where the Supreme Court is given a case that actually allows them to sink their teeth into the presidency and the office of the presidency to basically say, your only constitutional powers are to enforce the laws, not to create laws. And so, as you know, with immigration, President Trump was really big at deporting. Well, J. Edward Griffin, Need to Know News, basically reports former presidential advisor Stephen Miller said that last year 180,000 migrants were deported and that 92% of them were either charged or convicted of a crime. 92%! Okay, so ICE will no longer, under the Biden administration, pick up criminals in police or sheriff's custody, thus leaving 12,000 foreign criminals to be released into communities across America currently. 12,000. According to the memo, ICE is also being forbidden to deport foreign workers and students who overstay their temporary visas. In other words, we have a law, you can't stay here, and now Biden is basically saying, he's snubbing the law, he's thumbing his nose at it and saying, we don't care. His job is to support the Constitution. These are impeachable offenses. A federal judge in Texas has blocked the Biden administration's order for 2 weeks because, and basically not to enforce existing law is, you know, a part of the ruling and the federal statutes of the Constitution, but that's only a 2 week stay. Folks, I told you over a month ago that Biden is going to normalize the invasion. When we talk about illegal aliens, don't use that word. Don't call them illegal aliens. Call them invaders. Anybody that has come here from any country, whether that be China or Mexico or southern states of our southern border, doesn't matter, or even if they come from Cuba or any other communist country, they are invaders if they are not here legally. And if they overstay their legal visa, then they become intruders. Anyway, we have to start getting the states to start demanding the federal government protect them from this invasion. Demand that they comply to the Constitution. See, once again, it's about compliance. It has nothing to do with an amendment. Anyway, vaccine manufacturers, this is G. Edward Griffin, Need to Know News. Merck has abandoned development of two coronavirus vaccines, saying that after extensive research, it has found that the shots were less effective than contracting the virus and allowing the body to naturally produce antibodies. Merck is instead planning to produce oral antiviral drugs. It is hoped that the drugs will protect patients from the damage of an overactive immune response to the virus. Merck will receive about $356, just shy of $500 million from taxpayers to basically, you know, pay for this drug. Isn't that interesting? We're going to pay for them to develop the drug, and then we're going to pay for them to produce it and give it to us. That's what the federal government is doing, and just believing that there is no reason why they can't reach into your wallet whenever they want to do what they feel is necessary and proper. And you know it is all unconstitutional. On another note, I also noticed in the news that the Archdiocese, I think this is down in Louisiana, but it's probably going to become a very common debate, to not go with the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine, to basically telling their parishioners to stay away from this, and that's because of the controversial brain, fetal tissue that they're using in this. And I will tell you that all of the genetic engineering and all the other things that they are doing within vaccines, if you don't have to get a vaccine, you take your life at risk and you put your kids in harm's way when you have to give your children a vaccination, because it is not, I'm telling you, it is not about what is best for your health. It is what they believe they want to do in making and moving you in the direction they want to. It was already disclosed, I think it was 2005 or 2007, from a 2002 study, that they have been able to modify behavior by using very specific additives to vaccines to take people from being religious to becoming more laissez-faire regarding religion. In other words, they're trying to genetically modify us so that we're not such zealots for Christ. We can do without going to religion. The Pentagon actually released the data on how they've been successful in doing that. Anyway, G. Edward Griffin, Need to Know News. Democrats are seeking to overturn election laws, as you know, with this act called For the People Act that would institute policies that open the door to voter fraud. As a matter of fact, I want you to know that today in Missouri, I believe it's the state coordinator for Missouri for the Constitution Party, is standing or sitting in front of the state legislature testifying on why they need to get rid of, you know, these unaccountable and these, you know, steeped with fraud mail-in ballots and go back to precinct physical voting and physically counting the ballots. The other thing that this Bill for the People Act will do is it will basically make mail-in ballots universal. They're going to try to force and mandate this. Now, I want you to understand, this becomes another constitutional challenge where the states and the state attorney generals, and you got to understand that the governors that are in charge of most of these states want this to happen, then they wash their hands of this. But if you've got a good state, then the attorney general will take a stand and say, you're violating the Constitution because only our state legislatures have the authority to choose the manner of how elections are to be done, period. That's right there in the Constitution. What they're looking to do is they want to legalize ballot harvesting. This is just unconscionable that they want to do this. And they also want to ban states from doing voter ID requirements. They want to allow felons to vote, and they want to allow same-day voter registration. Why? Because if you can do same-day voter registration, and you show up to a polling place, because in some places, you may have an actual polling place instead of doing mail-in ballots in some of these states. They want to make it illegal for you to give that person a provisional ballot. What's a provisional ballot? A provisional ballot is kind of a ballot that is identified as a potential questionable vote. It is not just thrown into, these are good confirmed voters. This person here is not on our records for this precinct, and this person needs to be validated. That's why provisional ballots are considered the enemy to the progressives. And this is why mail-in ballots completely eliminates the concept of provisional ballots. Now, we've got a lot of G. Edward Griffin Need to Know News, and that's what we're going to be covering in the next couple of episodes. What we want to do is I want to prepare some good insights on the Articles of Confederation next week. And like I said, we're going to get into the establishments of states and so forth. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.